Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite zone. This is the Shungite radio show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggy Shack Radio. And welcome to the Shungite Show. It's November 6, 2018. My name is Nancy Hopkins. I'm winging it without Derek today because I have just an incredible guest on. Troy McGillen was on with Jan Shaw two Saturdays ago, and I was just fascinated by his life story, which we're not really going to cover much of that because I knew that by the end of the 2 hours, we had only begun to understand who this interesting person is. And he's got so many interesting stories. And I just asked him if he wouldn't join me today. And so, Troy, why don't you just give the people a hello and a brief background on where you're coming from. Where do you want them to start with the story with you?
Hi. Hello, everyone. I go by the name of Troy. A few years ago, I looked in a mirror. I was high on mushrooms, and I saw an electric being in the mirror. And I spoke the name Tron, and my cells vibrated so much that I knew this truth. Months later, I was expressing this story to a friend, and I expressed that ultimate truth in front of him, which was an ultimate sacrifice for all to be good. And in that moment, he jumped. And it took me a half an hour to ask him. I says, "What was it that startled you?" And he says, "I saw a blue being." And he just jumped out on you. And I went, "Tron." And he smiled and he goes, "Yeah, Tron." And I said, "Okay, no, thank you for your validation." And I'm speaking my truth. I have nothing to gain because truth is the only thing that has power. Everything else is misaligned. And our egos are all set up where I truly, honestly understand and overstand that our egos have been tampered with seriously, which has caused a block. And because truth has so much power that the manipulators of truth to enable the other side of materialism, Satanism, Luciferianism, or any ism of creation that is in a third dimension reality of what we're stuck in, is actually only able to exist because of the manipulation and lies, to twist that light into a version that would suit an agenda of energy extraction from a sovereign infinite being or a spirit, and create a smoke and mirror effect of what exactly this prison planet is based on. And I'm going to speak of past tense because in this present moment, it's not a prison planet because it's not a prison for me anymore. And so if it's not a prison for me, I am a collective consciousness. I know this, so this exists. And at this moment, it is only to be realized in the third dimension reality in time for you who's listening to filter down and process this. And Nancy, I would like to ask you, what is Shungite and what are its properties, and what does it do, and what's a good story that my listeners who are listening to this would incorporate this knowing of a mineral aspect of, in this reality with the thought processes that I currently would profess to know or want to know or desire to know to be that knowledge. Thank you.
Well, shungite is something that essentially leveled the playing field. When my background is I was an electronic warfare officer, and I learned out about the dangers of electronic and then electronics and then Wi-Fi. But I learned the dangers of these electromagnetic fields. And nobody would listen to me or other people that were talking about this. And so, you know, flash forward to 2014, and I was led to shungite because I was researching the electromagnetic pulse. Okay, it was a situation that occurs when a nuclear explosion occurs, but they were talking about it as sort of like the ultimate dirty bomb, in that you could put these things up and blast out all of the electrical systems, electronic systems in a given area. So I was researching that. At the same time, and this is a synchronicity of life, right? A Facebook group had suddenly found out about the dangers of electromagnetic energy. And I said to Gaia, please give me something to help these people. Because I'd been fighting it for over 40 years by that time. And all of a sudden, I'm reading about electromagnetic pulses and how to protect against them. And the Russians are using this thing called shungite. Mm. And so that led me down a road of investigating, well, what is this stuff? And it is, well, I initially thought it was a meteorite strike 25 billion years ago. It may or may not be that because of things I've just learned recently, but it gets it so intriguing that way. But let's just assume it was, you know, one big whack by something that is about 1,000 kilometers square and goes down to a depth of 400 feet, although the average seems about 200. So it's a massive collection of I like to tell people it's like a stew. It's minerals, composites, all put together in this stew. And the basic, the biggest ingredient in it is carbon. Okay. Well, so this thing sat there. It's in the area of like 10,000 lakes, and the lakes in this area that are in this shungite field are absolutely pristine. They're so pure that they just suck out of it. They don't have to filter it or anything. It's also been those waters have been attributed to healings. Peter the Great, 300 years ago, he built a spa for his military people to go there when they've been wounded to be healed. So it's got a real history behind it as far as, you know, what it does for healing and water purification. But this new thing about it, well, the most people at that time, in 2014, were saying that it blocks or absorbs the electromagnetic energy, right? Well, it doesn't do either of those. It attenuates. It changes the bad signal into one that's biocompatible. And since we started investigating it, there's a massive science behind it. We've got a new science out there called enterology, the study of energy, because what it brought us is, as metaphysicians, is a 3D finite object that has access to the quantum field and therefore infinite power, but it's all based on a merging of metaphysics and quantum physics and what we can now see in the material 3D world. We didn't have this opportunity before because virtually everything we have asked shungite to do, shungite does, including increasing the flow of electricity down an electric wire.
Mm.
You know, people save money if they start using our system, our products. The products that we sell in the store, CosmicReality.net, are different than you find anyplace else, because these are energy devices based on shungite. They're not specifically shungite products. So okay. That lays it out. Got any questions?
Yes. Is it something you take orally, or is it a rock? You add it to water? Do you put it in your cooler? How does it work?
Yeah, it's rock, okay? And so you get these nuggets, and they range in size because it's basically just this big bunk of this shungite mineral, okay? Mm-hmm. And they have found virtually every single element in the periodic table is contained within the shungite field. It's an indication that it's the beginning of life, actually. All right, but that's another story. So what it is they go in with steam shovels and they start just digging into this rock, into, you know, just like strip mining type of thing, right? And then they take that rock and they process it into other things. They make different sized nuggets, and they have, like, you can get, you know, pound rocks of it. I actually have one that's 7 pounds. You also have powder. They make powder out of it too. Okay. Now the powder is used in livestock food, and many people ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
I give it to my animals. I take it periodically, but I forget to do those things. And it's, but you have to be careful. You have to be very careful of the shungite sources. Okay. I'll put that out there. So you can have it in all these different forms. And what we discovered is, it's based on, in 1985, there was, two Americans and a British scientist that got together. And the basic, project was to discover what kind of molecules could be created in the vacuum of interstellar space. And so they ended up with this thing called fullerene. And fullerene is actually a new type of carbon, in that you had the graphite and the diamond and the coal and all this other kind of versions of carbon. But now you got a new one, and these molecules were doing something very weird. They were actually following a pattern of the atoms following a pattern that created spheres, shells. And depending on how many carbon atoms, you had different shapes in the shells. Well, one of these, if you take 60 of these atoms and you put together to have them go into the pattern, what ended up was something that looks identical in the geometry as a soccer ball, a European soccer ball. So, which is also two geodesic domes if the bases were put together. So because of the connection to the geodesic dome, it became known as fullerenes, or Buckminster Fuller, the guy that was an architect that promoted the concept of geodesic dome being the most stable structure. And this molecule, the C60 molecule, is undoubtedly the most stable molecule ever discovered, but it's also very bizarre, and it's blowing them out of the waters. I mean, every modality of science is looking at this, because the sucker's rotating at over 2 billion times a second.
Ah.
All right, now so what...
I'm jumping in here because sure. I just discovered C60 and I'm taking it. David Wolf sells it and I ordered it. It's like $39 and I take a couple drops every day. And I have to say that I do feel better since I've been taking it. I can't tell anybody, hey, it's going to do this or do that. But all right. So that's my input on C60. You go ahead. You know what you're talking about.
Well, unfortunately, because we've been, C60 came out a lot, years after we were dealing with C60 and shungite. And it's a synthetic version. In other words, it's a synthetic C60. The C60s that are in shungite are cosmic C60s. They're full of intense energies. The synthetic ones are machines. Mm. When you're taking them in, and initially I gave it a lot of space. I didn't talk bad about it. I've got a YouTube up that compares the difference, and I was strictly talking in terms of what's the better one? Well, the better one is shungite because mm-hmm. it's natural. And they're the very concept that you would need to take millions of these C60s into your body just absolutely freaks me out, because I know the power of one C60. And you are accessing the infinite power of the quantum field, because the energy at this level that we're talking follows geometry. And the geometry of this perfect C60 molecule, looking like a soccer ball, looking like the most stable architectural device that we know, Buckminster Fuller-wise, every time you have one of these atoms, and the lines are coming in, so all the lines, all the angles are equal, you create what's called a null point or a zero point, and the universe abhors zero points. So what happens is that you connect to the quantum field. So you've got 60 connections to the quantum field in one fullerene. You put millions of them in your body, and all you're doing is screwing up your energetic body to a degree that just freaks me out.
Ooh. Wow. All right. I'm not freaked out, because I believe that I'm thinking is my tool of everything. And if I'm thinking something is bad, then something is bad. And I'm just saying, this is where I dwell in. It's like everyone has all information on everything, and it's an experience and a path and validations. And it's true, and that's your truth. That is everyone's truth. And what you accept as the truth, if you did not want to find out the truth, meaning that you didn't want to experience it and you didn't have to investigate it and didn't research it, and you accepted the truth from somebody else, non-validated, and that was your truth, then you may find out that it may not work. And you have to, you know, like what you're saying, I took something, there's a million of them in my body, and if I think for 1 second, oh, I'm lost, I'm going to be down, I'm going to actually do that. I'm going to actually follow that spiral down, worrying about what's in my body. So, you know, what we think is very effective on us. What other people tell us is effective on us if we don't hold our own truth to know that as we think we are, we are. And so that this is a live example of accepting for yourself a truth to see if you are inhibited or affected by, you know, what other people are saying. And, you know, Nancy, before we came on, we both agree that thoughts create reality. And this is the creation of a new reality. What do we want to create? And
let me jump in here for a second, because you're exactly right. I normally wouldn't freak people out that way. I kind of forgot I had an audience. I was talking to you. Because, all right, yes, absolutely. It's what they're thinking about this thing, okay? The C60 that somebody, like you've got in your body right now, okay? It is under charge of your body and your mind. If these people or yourself put a lot of faith in that C60 to reverse their aging or whatever it is that you're taking it for, okay, the C60 will do that, because the structure of the C60 is accessing the quantum field, All right. Now that's where it gets very, very tricky, because you're now got stuff in your body that will actually work with your thoughts. Okay. Because your thoughts, see, there's just different levels, but when you get into the level of manifestation within the 3D, you're actually talking about a thought and energy following the thought. You're creating geometry that the energy follows, but it's all in your thinking. So if you're fearful and you've got all of this extra connection to the quantum field at the 3D level, okay, you're going to intensify those things. That's what I'm fearful of. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're hearing me, and I'm hoping you are, and you've got the C60 in your body, think of it as good, because it is simply a tool.
We're on the same page. That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. Is that I would have to interpret that information as something for me to feel good about. And this is a perfect conversation that we're having here, and it's an open conversation, and this is the greatest witness. Is, you know, I'm not acting, you're not acting, we're just having a conversation. But that's exactly what is true, is what you believe to be true is true. And there's many things that I have created in my truth where I looked at reality and saw where it wasn't a loving God that created this. No way. I don't care what kind of lesson you think you want to learn. I just say that's too much suffering for a loving God to have created this. So I found out that I am programmed, and then I found out how to deprogram myself. And then I found myself existing in other people's or other creators' programs. And so therefore, I realized that I am the I am. I am the creator of hope and everything that is in existence. And so therefore I started to rewrite those programs like service to self and service to others. A couple years ago, I said, no, it's not working. Why would it be? I need a percentage for myself. So give me 10 and give everybody else 90, because we're super productive beings. So therefore, I started thinking about things that are good for everyone else, knowing that I'm the last. But I knew that that thought putting out there would start something. Every thought that we have, we create in our own quantum field. And therefore, if we take negative information and took it as truth and start worrying about it and how to block it, that's not productive. That's fighting. That's why the Illuminati spread the propaganda along with channels of thinking that if you fight, you fight yourself. You do fight yourself, because it's fractured thoughts. But there's no fight if you know that truth is the fight, because truth knows, you know, the power of truth. It just flows right out and it knocks everything down, because it is the quantum energy. It's the prana, chi. We know what it is, but we can't feel it, touch it, and know it. But we know it exists because we've been in it. We've existed in it. We've felt those energies. And we understand that there's something that is way past the normal third dimensional reality of just muscle and flex and whatever else energizes this.
Well, this is, let me just stop you, because I could have stopped you so many times. You just make my mind go, blah, blah. The Shungite does that, okay? What Shungite is doing for us is proving the concept of enterology. And when you get in it, when you are led, because you're ready for Shungite, okay, you're suddenly in, I call it the Shungite reality, okay? Because, yes, there are many, okay, let me just give you the quick one. It's a water purifier. Oh, but don't drink too much of it, because it's gonna hurt your body, because it goes acidic, pH.
Well, that's only if you're doing, like, you know, a handful of nuggets in water. If you put three nuggets in the water becomes energized, not chemicalized, not full of antioxidants that can actually be very damaging if you got too many of them. Too much of anything is no good. Okay. So, you can, I mean, drink all the water you want. It's energy. You know, when you've only got the three in there. And the guides told us three because you get a coherent field with three. Now, the other interesting thing about it is the smaller, the closer you get to little tiny particles like we do in the powder, the more energetic it becomes. Okay? So, but what it's showing us is that when you, and we've got scientific backup for what we're saying, when you have shungite on just a nugget on your body, okay, your body is being semi-protected from electromagnetic waves all around you. When you take a nugget of shungite and you wrap a wire around it, you've created an energy device because it's pulling argon into the shungite field, and shungite loves energy. You take shungite powder, you mix it with resin, liquid plastic. You put a magnet in it, a very powerful magnet. And now you have got a magnetic shungite field that is so extraordinary. You stick the darn thing on your refrigerator, and you're going to have to turn your refrigerator down because the refrigerator is going to be working so efficiently that you're going to freeze your vegetables in 4 hours after doing it if you're not careful. And we have people out there saying that they have got their refrigerator virtually on zero. Most of the time it's a two, whereas the normal setting is 3.5 to 4.
Did anybody put it in their gas tank yet?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. 50 miles per gallon.
Oh, nice.
Put it on your natural gas pipe coming into your house, right? And instead, it takes half the time. It cycles half the time to get to the same temperature.
Well, I think that everybody needs a bit of shungite. So
everybody when I was writing my book Cosmic Reality, and I thought I had finished it, and something happened. I'm not going to get into it, but I realized, wow, I didn't finish this book. Something's wrong. So I go back and I just start going through it, just, you know, feeling the energies. And all of a sudden I'm on this discussion of creator consciousness. All right. Now the concept of enterology is that thought is where the manifestation begins, because without thought, you don't have any manifestation, period. So in order for this biosphere to exist, there had to be a thought. So there has to be a consciousness, a creator consciousness out there. And that's what I was working through my head in the book. And I didn't get there. I really didn't pursue that. So where it sort of led me to go, I just start writing. And all of a sudden, I'm going like, I'd done it three times. I said, what's this word, Gaia? Now, I had heard it, but I didn't really know. It's something to do with Mother Nature, you know. But, I mean, I had no concept. And here I'd used it three times before I even looked at it. So I went and I Googled it, and I went, oh, okay. And so I realized that the creator consciousness of this planet, the name is Gaia. And so I basically realized that the only way we were going to go to the next level of consciousness development was that she was going to go to the next level of consciousness development, and we had to do it together. And so I absolutely dedicated myself to being subservient to the needs of Gaia. I'm not subservient to Gaia. I'm only subservient to my own inner higher self. But in this relationship, I will do everything and anything to help Gaia become all that she can be, because then that's the way I get to be all that I can be. And that goes back to the concept also of, why do we say, you know, in service to others? Okay? Well, if you're in service to yourself, you're into service of one soul energy field. If you're in service to others, you're in service to the entire collective humanity's energy field. And it's not like a hive mind concept. It's the concept of individuals coming together to work to be more than we could have been without each other.
Yeah.
And that's why every one of us is here right now.
Yeah. It's actually, I can feel it in the quantum field of thoughts. It's like, I was talking to Jan last week about the dreams. You know, we meet somebody and go, yeah, I just want a house by the waterfall, a tree house, and just people. Same dream, same dream, same dream. What's going on? And we realize that one is thinking, it's uploaded, all thoughts, all of these dreams are coming through to everyone else. But I wanted to add something when you're talking the last time. Like, I could have stopped you so many times myself too. The way I got here into this, onto the page I am of Thoughts Create Reality was in 2008. I was absolutely just convinced, knowing that this world was in trouble and things were not going to be good at the rate we were going. We're consuming a ratio of 3 times the productive rate of the planet. And, you know, it was going really bad. And I decided that I was to look at the world and what was running it, and petrol was the energy source. And so I started to think about or go into all these energy-saving devices. And I found that hydrogen added to the intake of the car would give you double the mileage. And I tested it on a 1984 Golf, and I got it up to 50 miles to the gallon. And I was convinced that this is the way to go. And then I realized that, whoa, if I could do this in my backyard, why isn't the car companies doing this? If I can add a few magnets to my intake, why isn't the car companies doing this? And I went a bit further to realize that the car could run completely on hydrogen and I could produce it on the fly from water, therefore creating a car that drove on water. And you had the concept of Stan Myers, who was the 1992 or something like that. He had this Volkswagen Beetle bug, dune buggy that was running around on water. There's videos of it on YouTube. And I got into this world where I got chapter 10, can't remember his name right now. He put together these chapters and I got chapter 10, which is all about free energy. It was a conscious book that somebody put out, and he put together all these free energy devices. And after I finished reading them, I came up with one that I wanted to experiment with. But then the others that I was reading, it all depended on who the observer was and when it worked and when it didn't work. And I realized that after I went into my own invention of a hydrogen cell that could produce way more than the Faraday's law. Faraday's law is if you put in energy, you'll get out energy, but there's an energy loss. And that, let's say you lose 10% of your energy. So if I was converting water into hydrogen, which is 2 parts of hydrogen, 1 part of oxygen, and you actually have this separated, so the water is separated into hydrogen and oxygen, and you add a flicker, a flame, anything, a spark, it will absolutely blow up and implode and turn right back into water. And this is done, this is known, this is science, this is fact. There's no quantum, you know, imagination from the old paradigm to the new paradigm. This is old paradigm stuff. But what I found out was that if you added a frequency of vibration frequency and a pulse of that electricity to that formula at the right sync, they call it a sine wave. When you got that frequencies in tune, you could put out 100 Faraday. And this was done by a gentleman in South Florida. His name was Bob Boyce. He used to race boats. And he decided he was going to build his car, and he had it running on water. So here I am reading this and experimenting with it. And at this time, I was in contact with a few people that had these devices running, and we had enough information going between us to absolutely, when they figured it, I figured it out, they gave me the formulas, I gave them the formulas, and between the three of us, we kind of made these formulas, and we got it. We said, okay, that's what works. And I realized that everyone that I was sharing with was, their families were dying, or the wife was leaving them, or something was happening in the family. And it hit me. It hit me along with somebody who channeled. It hit me. They said, if you cannot get this until you have consciously evolved, or the world has consciously evolved, the world is not ready for this. And that was my next step. It was, what is consciousness? It is so important that it even affects the science of things. And that's my story. Thank you.
Well, that story is, was a very profound realization of the interconnectedness of thought and mind. And of course, this goes back to quantum theory, because they realized from the very get-go that depending on what was in the mind of the experimenter, that was what came out of the experiment, you know, in basic terms. So it was quantum physics that first started saying that, hey, get over it. It's not a material world. It's a thought world. Everything starts in thinking. So when you're addressing what you're addressing, we are now at the time where we can do all of those things, seemingly magical things, and it's because Shungite is leading the way. This stuff, it purifies water. It accelerates electricity flow, because it essentially, what happens in an electric wire, and you'd probably understand this, in an electric wire, why is there resistance to the electricity? Well, it's because the electric wire is also a conduit for argon energy. Mm-hmm. And it's the argon energy that's causing the resistance. So mm-hmm. when you add Shungite to the circuit, like if you cut a wire, because Shungite also, very unusually, will allow electric conductivity through it. So you cut the wire, put a couple of nuggets of Shungite, and they have to be oriented in the same way because the flow of the energy goes a certain way. And then you put connect it to the other part of the wire. The amount of power to light a light bulb, is less. Mm. And we've tested this on motors and everything else. And the reason being is that once the Shungite begins to work with the argon field, the argon starts to flow faster. So therefore, there's no resistance to the electricity. And our measurements indicate that it's a 4% increase with just a splicing of the nuggets. But when we apply the devices that we have, like it's all it is a sticker, but it's got a certain combination. We've done different things to the Shungite to enhance it. And so you've got this sticker and you put it on an electric motor. Mm-hmm. It will, one sticker will decrease the amount of power usage by 20%. If you put a second sticker, it will increase the savings in power. If you put a third sticker, you'll go to 33%. And after that, it doesn't matter. You can only get to 33% energy efficiency. Mm-hmm. So we know that, you know, from a scientific way, that the Shungite is doing things that would be considered magical because it's working with argon. And none of the scientific world wants to talk about argon. You know, which is the prana, is the chi. That's what we're talking about.
Somehow I think the 369 formula is in that. I just don't know why. I just thought that. The numbers 3, 6, and 9 are going to play in it, because when you said that you only could do 3, I realized that it was in that sequence. After that, it wouldn't make any difference.
Yes, 3, 6, 9 is everywhere. We just don't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it. You can see it in many ways. Different people have talked about it, and it all comes from Tesla saying it. If you understand the relation of 3, 6, 9, you'll understand the relationship of the universe, basically, is what he said. So, but what Walt Silva, my scientific side of me, he said, okay, so it's really interesting, but what does it mean? What's it going to give us? What is it? you know, because he wants to know what is it and how is it going to help me? And that's where we don't understand it enough to, but except in the concept of three is cohesion when it comes to shungite and most everything else. And cohesion is the stability of an energetic field. And once you've got stability, then you've got manifestation.
Right.
You know, and to give you an example of how thought works like this, when I started this radio station, everybody that was out there was using mixers and other equipment in order to be able to essentially run the radio station. And I said to Walt, I said, Walt, there's got to be a digital way of doing this. And he's like, no. Everybody, no. I said, Walt, please. He's my computer guy, too. And I said, Walt, please just go out there and see if you can find it. Please just go out there and find it. So he goes out there, and sure enough, he finds it. Mm-hmm. Now, according to the 3D Find, this website, this particular thing is called Voice Meter. It acts like a digital mixing board. Has been out there for quite a few years, and it was made by a German. And but I said to Walt, how do we know that? That might be the backstory, because I wanted it, and so you found it. But that backstory is, oh, it's been there. Do we know that? Because that's how powerful I think our manifestation capability is. If you can imagine it and you focus enough energy on it, don't get into the details. Just say, oh, I really want that. And let it pour from your energetic body. It's a done deal. It might not happen right away, but it's a done deal.
Let me just add to that. If you understand time is not linear, then you understand that your thought could create things 100 years ago and you could pick it up just where you buried it 100 years ago, or you could have it delivered to your door at that date. But you have to know that that is possible first before you could do it. In other words, if you said, how do you do it? Then you're thinking how to do it when there's no thought of how to do it. I just gave you the formula. You just know that that's true. But the only way you know that's true is the proof of that's true. And so that's the problem, is that we can't go from no proof to proof. There are steps in it. And everything is solvable that way. I'm finding out now, I've heard this before from others, that in this time is when we can go back on these timelines. And every time that you had an altercation or you had to go left instead of right, your security over your heart or whatever, and you cause damage with people or situations, you could actually imagine it in this reality and absolutely erase the effect of it. And with the people you meet again, they will not even remember, or they will praise you for your positive actions, and it's all forgotten. And to do this, you just have to know it's being done, not to look for it. Because the second you look for it, you can't find it. It's not there. You have to not look for it. You have to accept that it is done for it to be done.
Well, the key here now is, again, the time concept, okay? Because a lot of people will say, I revoke all contracts, you know, present, future, past. And to me, no, I'm not going to revoke any contracts from the past, because if I do that, who I am right now could change. Those things that we did in the past are what got me here. Okay, so, but now I'm, and the rest of us are verging on an entirely different paradigm of existence. And in that paradigm of existence, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're moving from a standpoint of, okay, I sort of got it, but now I'm going to take a step into a different paradigm. In that new paradigm, you as a human being are essentially accessing unbelievable powers that are innately and from birthright yours because you're human. It's just that it's been kept from us, okay? So you're going into, let's say, well, let me put it to you this rule. This is another rule, is that absolute power demands absolute responsibility. Now, mm-hmm. when we die in the 3D, you have a life review that you see everything that you did, but if you then turn it around and you see yourself, everything you did, but from the vantage point of all the people you influenced. If you want to get to the next step, you have to relieve yourself and all the people that you interacted with in the past from karma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the things that make, because we're going to go into a state of very close to perfection. Whenever, you know, perfection is one of those carrots at the end yeah. of a stick.
Exactly.
So, yes, it's imperative that we look at ourselves differently. On Saturday's show, we had a woman on that was talking about this very thing, Cindy Jacobs, and she was talking about how our bodies hold all sorts of trauma that comes from past lifetime, from genetics, from a lot of stuff. And so it's that's what we have to flush out, is all these trauma things. So can you go back and can you change the past so that the people that you hurt, okay, don't get hurt because it didn't happen?
Exactly.
Okay, that is where we need to be. But before you even attempt to go there, you have to be so certain of your own authenticity. Because you don't want to lose yourself.
Thank you. This plays into the service to self, service to others, because really and truly, are we waking up everyone or are we waking up ourselves? And if we're only using other people to wake up ourselves, in other words, I'm going to reflect upon yourself, my opinion, and see if you bite my opinion and would validate my opinion. And therefore, I am building myself. And we're doing this constantly, validating our own selves and our own self-worths for our own growth with corresponding with other people. But the real service to others comes when you ultimately have found your ultimate truth. And that's when you can really do a whole lot more. So, you know, I'm saying it in a way where everyone should, or I can't say should, but I would prefer to see everyone really working on themselves in a way where they can help others really efficiently, because the game has been played on us for a long time. And the Catholic Church was built on good people. There is an energy drain from what we think needs to be done. And it has dominated the spirit energy so much that it has caused it to be not as efficient, because it's in the hospital always repairing the gunshots rather than who's shooting the bullets. You know, and so, you know, the collective consciousness, we're all points of light on this globe, and we're all representing our own experience and converting it back to thought, feeling, emotion, sending it back to the quantum computer, the collective consciousness, and then coming back to us and feeling this validation of truth of what we preferred in our existence on this planet. And this is what is happening right now, is that the sensors, and I am a sensor on this planet, is felt certain things weren't right and certain things were overlooked. And there's certain groups of people that were not considered to be, you know, in a good stance. And our thoughts are writing the wrongs that were created. Our thoughts are saying they should never have had that. They should never have done that. This is the way I would prefer to have been done. I would prefer that to have been done. And at this point, we are the sensors that are on this planet that are in our knowing. When you find out your absolute truth of your existence, we just say, hey, collective consciousness, this needs to be done. And so it is, and it is done. And it's not your ego saying it. It is your heart of comfort and of the existence in this balanced equilibrium of separation and confusion and other opinions and other thoughts interfering with yours, and you validating it and feeling it into your own self, and then bringing the two into one, and then sending that back up into, this is my truth. This is my truth from my experience. This is my truth. And that truth is now creating this reality, because it is so, so powerful. It's not asking for any more validations. It's not asking for other people's opinion. It is just broadcasting truth. And this is what I've now learned to understand, where the 144,000 of light modules on this planet have now grown up and activated and said, it's time. And now we see this transformation, and it is presented as the event. It is presented as the prelude to the event and all of what's happening. And now that we are validated in our truths and we're seeing this all happening, we're going, yes. And that brings in another point of energy of validation for ourselves. And it makes us more knowing that we're doing it. And then now this amplifies, and this light spreads out to the others who are on the fence, or the others who are not or slightly confused, or, you know, we say unawake. And then that goes and goes and goes until the last ones who just say, I'm holding on because I have done so wrong. I can't forgive myself. It's better I just disappear than to have to deal with the rest of you. And that's what's happening. That's the way I see what's happening right now, is us holding on to our truth so much so that it's just broadcast out into this reality, and it shifts everything. And when I'm saying this, I'm feeling it as I'm saying it as the truth. And I know that my voice is being echoed. It could be one listener at the end of this. It doesn't matter. I've said it as if I'm saying it to the rest of the world. And I know that they'll hear me. And now it is done. That's a thought. That's a quantum field effect. That in itself, right
okay,
there.
Okay, let me just jump in here, because what we're talking about here, you have to draw in the concept of free will. We've had a lot of discussions of free will, okay? Now, the problem with what we're having in a free will universe right now is that the vast majority of people do not know that they have free will. So they are programmed to just do whatever is supposed to be done, because that's the easiest way of getting through. Those of us that understand free will, it's a kind of a quandrum thing that we can get into. Well, we know free will, so let's just change reality, because, you know, we're going to just take over the responsibility of changing reality. But can you do that legitimately in a free will universe? Yes, you can. Because why? Because the only thing we're saying is we're changing our reality. You know,
That's right.
And so if your reality wants to take you down the rabbit hole into nuclear annihilation, well, go for it. But in my reality, that doesn't happen. You know, so when we're talking like this, it's yes, each individual has a responsibility to focus on the reality they want. And, you know, that comes into the rule. Okay, that was the first rule. Cosmic reality is what you think it is. The second rule, cosmic reality, is majority rules. So if you and I independently have come to the same conclusion that the reality of the matrix is yucky, we're going to have a new paradigm, a new reality, and we start agreeing on the foundations and fundamentals and elemental particles of that reality, then that more juice goes into it, more energy. And the more times we do these radio programs, the more times we put it into the collective consciousness, more people believe it. And I'm telling you, someday a lot of people are going to wake up one day and go, Oh, it's such a wonderful world to be in, and they're never going to even realize that they had been deep shit and shit.
How does that make you feel, Nancy?
What?
How does that make you feel?
Well, I just want, see, I jump timelines, okay, back in 1990, I jumped timelines, and I asked the guides, okay, will everybody be saved? And they said yes. So, you know, I don't see anybody really going down the rabbit hole into annihilation because there's not going to be any energy in it. You know, they're just going to end up on our reality. I don't think they have a choice because we are in this together. We are in this together.
There's no they. There's only I. It's your reality. But if your reality agrees with my reality, then we co-create this reality.
And now it's our reality.
This is what I see. This is what I was saying last 2 weeks ago on that show is John's show is we're all balls and we're all different color balls and all of us are thrown together and we go, diversity is the way we want you to be. We want you to accept each other's diversity and whatever. And that hasn't worked because we've constantly been fighting, separated, boxed and at war. So it's not working. So now all the balls are going, you know what? I'm going to find my yellow balls. And my yellow balls are going to want to create their own reality. And they're going to think in a righteous way. And they're going to start thinking in positive things. And we see this and whatever. And now the yellow balls are like going for it. And that's what's happening. We are actually the yellow balls who are leaving the diversity of chaos and creating our own reality. No. What I see happening is that every purple, yellow, purple, blue, red ball is being temporarily transformed into a yellow ball, but the potential of a yellow ball. And now in our reality, they now adapt to the thoughts that we have. And that's how it works. No, free will. What are their free will? Well, there's only your free will. As long as you don't try to change anybody else's free will, because all I'm thinking about is my free will, and I want you to have as much free will as I want my free will, because that's the only way it will work. So I'm not going against anybody else's free will. Red balls will be red, and they will stay red, but I may see them or I may not see them. I may just end up just on yellow balls, and I don't see any more balls. There might be only a million people left on the planet. I have no idea. I just know that what you're saying about creating in groups, that's what's happening as we speak right now. This is what's happening.
Absolutely. And the key to it is you have to be willing to give up all your relationships with the red and the green balls. Because you got to lock into the yellow balls. And you say, oh, but I don't want to leave the, you're not going to leave those people behind. If we don't take and make the yellow balls, get them into a frequency high enough so that they're resonating and every other color ball starts to resonate in the same way, everybody's lost. But if you just dedicate yourself to yourself for the next 14 months, just yourself to yourself. You will develop yourself into your authentic self, which will then begin to vibrate in unison with the yellow ball collective, which will then cause a vibration throughout the whole collection of balls.
Thank you.
And they will come into your reality. You haven't changed their reality because they have sort of split off and gone off into their own reality, but it's not any of our concern. Our concern is our reality. And that starts with each and every individual. Listen, we're at the top of the hour. Do you want to say something towards this or do you want to wait until after the break?
Let's wait after the break.
Awesome. And I'm going to play Imagine Dragons Thunder because it just has an energy of power in it. And that's what I would like people to get to their own centers, their own power base. So let the music take you out. Thank you.
Day of the Dragons for sure.
Okay.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number, I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder,
thunder,
thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder. Thunder.
Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy. You're always riding in the backseat. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping in the nosebleeds.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder,
thunder,
thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder.
And welcome back to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. It's November 16th, 2018. My name is Nancy Hopkins, and I have Troy McGill with me, and we're having just a wonderful discussion. You back, sweetie?
I'm back. Thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome, awesome. So, where were we?
Dragons.
Dragons! Oh, you love dragons?
I don't know if I love them because I was always taught to fear them.
Oh, I love them. I fly, they take me riding anytime, lots of times.
I know, I believe it's one of the things that were messed with our heads, you know. We're presented with a dragon, Satan, the devil, he looked like a dragon when you really think about it. The fiery red imagery in our heads about dragons, but I've had a few experiences where I can see the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension, and I see the dragon energy in people. And, you know, to the untrained eye, it's might be scary because of our preconditions. So this has happened, and there is cause and effect because the human psyche has been trained to programmed against this imagery in a human being. But we're cats, we're dogs, we're dragons, we're lions, we're all different aspects from different realities. And that's why we have our animals in this reality, so that they're, you know, a part of us. We identify with a lion, we identify with a dog, we identify with the different animals, and they're part of us. So we can, you know, once in a while in a thought dimension, you can actually see the energy imprints coming out. So the dragon is one for sure. So
you want to hear a story? Now, my listeners know the story, but you'll find this interesting. I'm a remote viewer. Most everybody is. Just imagine things you'll probably remote view. Okay, so I end up, in a long story, but I end up in Antarctica. And there, I'm in a chamber that looks sort of like a room. It's a weird place, but there is a dragon pacing back and forth. Now, this is one of the dragons that looks like a T-Rex. You know, they got the small hands and, you know. So he's pacing back and forth, and he's mumbling to himself like he's very worried. And I'm just watching him. And he all of a sudden noticed me, and he pointed at me, and he said, "You." And when he did that, it threw me out of the remote. But as I'm leaving, I'm hearing, "They've got to see the dragons." Now, my interpretation of that was that human beings had to, again, see dragons flying, because there was a video of a dragon flying over New York City, and boy, it resonated real with me, okay? But this was my first introduction to dragons. I mean, I knew dragons, but I didn't interact with them. So, anyway, it took me on a quest about what this dragon stuff was. And I work with the djinn. I know that a lot of people think the djinn are evil. They're not. Both dragons and djinn are what I call etheric beings. You know, because they're coming from an energy of what I call the etheric. Our bodies are etheric blueprints, and we manifest the 3D out of the etheric. But these guys, they can be 3D and they can be etheric, you know, same as us, but they mostly stay etheric. You know what I'm talking about. So what happened was that when Gaia created the Earth and then began to create biological life, let's call it, the first thing that she did was to put in a security force, okay, the djinn. And she also created the dragons. The dragons were actually there before any of all this stuff. But the dragons were integral to the first blueprint of the human species, so to speak. And throughout the early part of our development, we were very attached to the dragons in the same way that in the movie Avatar, that they have one flying dragon that is theirs. They don't call it a dragon, but is theirs, that they have this soul connection with. And it was the same thing. So when the dark side came in, they cut the dragon connection to humanity, and they controlled the djinn using frequencies, so they control the djinn and then made the djinn into this evil thing where they were not. So, I was working with the djinn, and I was concerned. I still couldn't quite get my handle on the dragon thing. Because to me, they still weren't, I saw one, but are they real? What is it? You know? So I'm with a djinn, in their home. Beautiful cave thing. Anyway, I'm in there, and I'm like, "What is the djinn?" And so my djinn said, "Turn around." And so I turned around, and here's a dragon. But not a dragon like the one I'd first seen. This is like the dragon with the 4 feet and the wings, and, you know. And I was like, "Oh, my God. You know, this is real." And then I got to ride that dragon. Okay, now it just so happens that when the dragon turned around and looked at me, I was stunned because who I was looking at, the eyes I was looking at into, was the eyes of a mystical, real 3D horse called Jack the Watcher. And I'd been dealing with Jack for years before this, and all of a sudden I'm going like, "Jack, you're a dragon? You know, what is this about?" You know, and so, you know, "You want to take a ride?" "Yeah, okay." So I get on top of this dragon, and when Jack moved, it felt like a horse. I said, "Well, it feels like a horse." He said, "What the hell do you think a dragon was going to feel like?" You know? So anyway, since then, I've been flying with the dragons. They only fly at night. You can never lie to them. And just recently, and this is why I'm telling you this whole story, this last equinox, okay, Gene Rockefeller, the owner of Jack the Watcher, Jack owns her, I think, she did a meditation and workshop kind of thing at Jack's farm with like 23 horses. And there was another, I don't know, 14, 15 horses in Australia on another horse farm. And they were coordinating this event. So they were kind of unifying the two hemispheres of the earth in the energetic field. And she taped. Now, she never tapes, but she was told to tape this particular workshop that went on Saturday night, and it was bringing in the dragon energy, both the white and red dragon energy, into the 3D / etheric matrix, activated again. And she did this recording, which you can get up on cosmicreality.net. Just go to the Cosmic Reality Store tab, and then go, all, I mean, the Shungite tab, and then go all the way down on the left side where the categories are, and you'll see Friends of Shungite, and go there, and you can get actually buy a copy of this meditation, because it just is an extraordinary, let's say, pathway to bringing your own dragon connection, and so you start working with your own dragon. And after this, the people that have already done this, after this, something very profound happens at the cellular level. I mean, it's just an enormous change. So even though it sounds absolutely mythical, absolutely crazy, you know, I mean, I can also talk about quantum physics if you want, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, exactly. If I was exactly. crazy, I would not be where I am today. You know, right. I've been telling these same stories.
We say this, and I say this too, you know, it's like, we know how everyone else thinks, and yet we know their deficiency in their thoughts. So why are we questioning what they would think of us? And why are we offended or would be offended or could be offended at their thoughts? And this is consciously stamping out that thought of like, it seems crazy. It's not crazy because everything is imagination. I, the magic nation. I, the magi, the king magis. That's what we're all about. We are creator beings from our imagination. That was hijacked and that has ended. And who else to play that game? Continue to play that game. But it'll get you nowhere except for what the slave master wants. The way to recreate this is to break this by doing this. Sorry.
It's always imagination. We can imagine these things, okay, because we're willing to allow our mind to create. And once we allow our mind, give it permission to imagine and to create, then it really starts to create manifestations of a reality that is there. We're just beginning to see it again. Absolutely. So it's an easy fix. You know, we just happen to say, wow, I wonder what would it be on the other side of that window. And you begin to think about it and pretty soon you're there.
Yes. You know,
it's as simple as that. But what we're trying to do here on these shows and, you know, in our lives, okay, is not to convince you that your reality is wrong, although it is, but to convince you that our reality is solid, is real. And once you begin to see the magic in our reality, you want it. It's like, you know, the concept of being in service to yourself and of being in a lone kind of little, you know, you're just a ball, you're not a group of balls, you're out there by yourself, is that you lose this ability to connect with everybody else. And in connecting with everybody else, you begin to nurture a growth that can only occur with everybody else. So when you want to be in service to others, it's the ultimate in service to yourself.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking about is, I got lost in thought there. I was thinking about it. Sorry. I went into a soft spot, but, the strength in numbers is definitely what I see needed out there. There's so many people who are by themselves. Number one is I'm alone. My family doesn't understand me. You know, I'm working for people who are taking my energies. you know, constantly identifying and then finding people like myself online and focused on, oh my God, he's saying things that I feel. I recognize these words, and or people are saying to me, no, I must have known you in a different life. Things like this. This is us waking up to our yellow balls, so to speak, to say that this is your brothers and sisters who resonate with your thoughts that you didn't even know you had anybody else out there. And this is when we now find each other and come together. We've heard of this happening in the past of like, this is what's going to happen. Bashar taught me a lot. That guy, I've never heard anybody answer questions as efficiently and profound as he does. And that really bowled me over. He's so absolute that I was like, this guy is absolute. He doesn't flinch. And everything that he ever mentions is accurate to the best of my research abilities. So therefore, listen to this guy.
Give his name and spell it out for people that might not know it.
Bashar. If you go on YouTube and look for Bashar Channeling, you'll find him. There's two Bashar. The one in Syria and him. So there's only two. So it's not the guy in Syria.
And spell it, please.
Bashar.
Okay. Because sometimes we mumble over these things, you know, and we're like, you know, and then I go back and I listen and I go, who was he talking about? You know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
Is there any questions you have for me?
Well, the key to it is that when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And one of the things that we've been, seeing is, interestingly enough, is that a lot of the old voices, the ones that were there initially, are fading away. Now, that's not because they're not needed. It's because we have advanced beyond them. Mm-hmm. And they're needed for the people that are, I don't like to call it awake. I think it's more of an awareness. I think people now are awake, but it's an awareness of why did you just wake up?
Yes.
The details. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. So those people are still needed for those, let's say, that are just entering the school, you know, those teachers. But we out here who are beyond that storyline, we're into a different story. It's not people standing up in front of crowds, you know, giving their view, their story. It's individuals coming together, and it's over the internet. I mean, there's no other way that it could ever have been done.
Except for telepathically.
Well, but you have to teach them.
That's why you had to use the internet to get back to telepathy. That's what we're doing. We're using the known tools in this reality to use it. Who wants to use Facebook? But guess what? We're using it. It's fighting against us. It's setting up algorithms. It's separating our yellow balls into the tiny, only yellow balls. It's doing exactly the same thing as reality. It's just simulating reality. I've watched it. I've learned it. I've watched the algorithms. I've seen the trolls. I've seen the blocks. I've seen the attitudes. It's reality. It's just simulating reality.
But
and
see,
it's just showing us the same thing.
But see, everything that they're building, that they built for control, is blowing up in their faces. They That's built right. the internet to control. Yeah, it was communication and all this stuff, but especially this concept of 5G, you know, not even going to go there. But all of this type of technological advancement, hold on. This technological advancement has actually worked to unify those of us that were out there doing the work, but doing it by ourselves. Now we are coming together, knowing that the others are there. And is telepathy being enhanced through this mechanism? Oh, absolutely. Because absolutely. Right now, you can feel those other people listening to us. Yes. I mean, sometimes I know that somebody out there is asking a question that is taking me in a place that I wouldn't have gone. But somebody needed that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can feel it. And are we enhancing it? Yes, absolutely. Will we need the technological electromagnetic sphere to be able to do this in the near future? No. But right now, oh my, you know, thank you. Because without it, we wouldn't be able to communicate and find each other.
Right. So we have to use the existing tools. We have to drive in a car. We have to fly in a plane. We have to use the existing tools. Because how else are we going to do it with the known limitations that exist? And this is the only way it could be. And it makes so much sense to me. I've been really solidly doing this since 2012, where I really sat down and realized that I am creating my own reality. This is a theory at this point. I have no solid proof, but I have enough indications in my past to see this is true. And I started to write certain things down, and every single thing is reality now. Anybody else that I tell about it, if I don't show them and prove that I wrote this, would seem that it was inevitable to happen. Because it in this reality, of course, it seems like it was inevitable to happen. But I did not have to go on this road. And I could clearly see that so many things that I have written down have come to pass, and so many things will come to pass. And just us having this conversation on creating a reality in 2018, when I wrote this 7 years ago, I knew that I would end up in this reality with other people who completely understood this. And I have seen a few videos. I can't call names right now because I'm not using my memory as such. But in the last couple of days, of people completely figuring out exactly what took 7 years for me to figure out. My question to the universe was, I need to understand the money matrix, which I did before, and I need to understand the God matrix, because those two matrices are the two opposing, are one side and the other side. So you remember when they asked Jesus about paying taxes, and he said, show me a coin. And he says, whose head is on that coin? And they said, it's Caesar's. He says, well, give to Caesar what is his, but give to God what is his. The concept of God, if we really use this word, God, I was thinking about this morning, God is, this is my preference on what is being created. This is my creation. This is our creation. This is thy creation. This is divine creation. This is all creation. That is God. So other people have other gods. And we need to listen to our God, which is our truth, because that is God. So give to God what is his. Give to your dream what is his. Give to your truth what is his. But if you have to pay Caesar, and you think you have to pay Caesar, then give to Caesar. Because you think in your reality, as your God, you have to give to Caesar. So therefore, you will have to give to Caesar. And what you're creating is this whole other world of what we call the third dimension reality, of the money matrix, of all this chaos that's happening and everything else that people are trying to figure out. Who's telling the truth within this reality? Whose story is true? They're trying to find out which direction to go in for themselves. And people are offering all their truths out there. But the truth of the truth is, there's a vibration in a voice that says, I don't know what he's saying, but something about what he says seems so true to me that I'm going to start listening. I feel this truth. This feeling is a vibration. It's a frequency that happens from spirit to flesh and transforms into this reality. And our voice is our communication, our true essence of our communication. And when voices are heard and eyes are seen, that's the true awakening. That's when we know our sisters and brothers, and that's when we know that everything is back in one. And that's when we say, thy will be done. This is it. we are one again.
You know, you mentioned voices, okay? The Western science talks about the 10% of DNA and that 90% of it is junk. The Russians / Soviets, on the other hand, said that's crazy. You know, 90% of it, let's look at it. And in looking at the 90%, they realized that the DNA system is actually a biological computer, an internet, okay? And what they discovered is that the number one source of changing DNA, actually changing DNA, is the human voice. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, yeah. I paid attention to the early scripts before I wrote these scripts because I didn't know anything like what you're telling me before. All I knew was that there was a couple people that came before and I paid attention, Thoth and Jesus and the Gnostics. And I pretty much read the Gnostics, found anything I could find about Jesus that was not the Bible because I knew that this man was an avatar, a very special avatar. And Thoth, who I question whether he played Jesus, whether he wrote the script or what, because it seems like he's the guy who was either an alien, he could be an Anunnaki who converted to being a light, full light spectrum being. In other words, if you take the concept of the Anunnakis, me, the fallen race, they were loose, they're logical only, they're not connected to prana, and therefore they have to take other people's prana. If you take that concept, and if Thoth was Enki's son, Thoth was Enki's son, then that would make him an Anunnaki. But then I found things that said that Thoth figured out how to live forever and how to do this. And he was the one who built the pyramids. He was the one who started to figure out the frequencies and all of the quantum fields and everything else. And he actually became, he did the ascension. He ascended. And then as a gift of ascension, he left emerald tablets and he left his writings in place. He probably knew that Alexandria, Egypt, was going to be blown up by the Romans because it was inevitable that they would suppress his information. But I really, when I look at everything that's presented on this plane of reality with the most solid evidence of what I've read, I have to follow this path of truth of where we came from. And Thoth is thought. And Thoth is actually, in the Anunnaki chart, the god of this 2150 years, which is the zodiacs of the 26,000 divided by 12, and the age of Aquarius. It is Thoth who is the Anunnaki representation of the energy of this paradigm for the next 2150 years. And when you research this, it is called the Age of the Messiahs. And when you research that in the Emerald Tablet, he talks about the Messiahs being the 144,000. So think of it this way, 144,000 wake up on this planet enough to generate the ascension path for all, as he has done from the time of his existence to this, which is the same time because time linear is only in this reality.
It's interesting synchronicity. Last night, television was on Ancient Aliens and they got into talking about the Emerald Tablets.
Mm-hmm. Indestructible, they cannot know what it's made of and they cannot destroy it. So pay attention. The Emerald Tablets is saying something because he knew that he had to create something that could not be destroyed.
And it was found in that very peculiar structure, the underground structure, where they don't even know how the heck they built it. And then they've got these esophaguses in there that are like huge, that were carved out of one solid piece of granite, the hardest stone you can carve. And everything is like you know, it's like somebody took a laser beam and carved it out. The top of it slides right over it. They were big enough to accept bulls, and they thought it was for the bulls that they so, the Egyptians so much admired, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just a strangest place, and nobody understands it, and then they find the tab.
You know what's crazy, Nancy? Absolutely nuts. If anybody went to Egypt and looked at this art and all of what happened, and they said that slaves did it with chisels and hammers, I think that's absolutely nuts, and they need their heads examined.
You know, no argument here.
I tell you, the word crazy is going to go back to the ones who started it. I'm telling you, that's how we're doing it.
Well, I what I like to say is I'd rather be crazy because normal is insane.
Well, yeah, that's the acceptance of that equilibrium. I'm going like all out. It's like, no, dudes, you're crazy to think that people could haul 40-ton stones on top of each other and just do this all day long because they wanted to bury their king. You're crazy, man. That's not going to work.
And no, and no king has ever been found in it. One of the things that is interesting, because you were talking about the Anunnaki, I don't know if you're familiar with Anelia Benz, are you?
No.
Okay. No. Somebody you ought to get a hold of, look into. She's fascinating. She's a fifth-dimensional being that was sent here and didn't have a clue as to what this 3D stuff was all about. And to tell the stories of her early integration is very funny. But right now she's been around for, probably 20 years maybe. And she is told a story about when she's doing a session, she records it over the phone, records it. And she was clearing the the recordings out of her phone. And all of a sudden, there's a session that she doesn't even remember having, talking to somebody about the Anunnaki. And what she explained in the recording was that the Anunnaki had messed up so bad here on Earth, they attempted to change it by having the Great Flood. But of course they didn't get all the DNA because what's the guy with the ark?
Noah.
Because Noah had the DNA on the ark, whatever that turned out to be. And so there was Anunnaki DNA is still flowing in our system, okay? Now, what she was stunned at was the fact that she was, of course, she's channeling higher information, and she was explaining that because they didn't get rid of all the DNA on Earth of Anunnaki source, our evolution and our emerging from the cocoon into butterflies, so to speak, is also occurring spontaneously in the Anunnaki homeworld. And they've got a real problem there because their society is based on the concept of worker and the head honchos. There's mm-hmm. only two stratums, and the workers are workers. They're know-nothings. They're animal-type things. And then you've got the, you know, the hierarchy. Well, mm-hmm. the animals are waking up over yeah. there, you know, causing them yeah. a problem. So it just goes to show that, you know, we are definitely – The DNA talks to itself. So if we're making changes in our own DNA simply because we are meditative, let me say something else here. I have a friend of mine who I absolutely have so much respect for. And she one day said that she wished she could do some of the things that I can do. And I went, no you don't. Because she is of a echelon of humanity, and it's a very large piece of humanity, that create a reality that is one of love and compassion and empathy and one with nature. She sits out, she's got, you know, invalid, she's sort of semi-invalid, so she's mostly goes out into the backyard and will sit there just communicating with nature and putting out all the love vibrations that she does because she's just full of love. I can name quite a few of those type of people. They have actually given us the foundation of holding together the paradigm or matrix long enough for the rest of us to wake up. to become aware. So if you're one of those people saying, oh, you guys are talking about all this and you're doing all this, and no, all you need to do is sit quiet by yourself, because the energetic field that you create when you're quiet by yourself, talking to yourself, being one with yourself, does so much to solidify the reality that the rest of us are out there gabbing about and trying to create. And I just wanted to make people understand, you don't have to go out and be on a radio show or try to convince anybody of anything. Just be your authentic selves.
Yeah, the bridge that I came from is the bridge I build. So I had full faith, trust in Jesus as a Christian. And now I have found out that Christianity was culled and warped for various reasons of energy source. So what I'm really want to say is the 40 days that Jesus spent alone in the desert and the 40 days that Moses went up the mountains and got his visions, those 40 days are alone in the wilderness, connecting with nature, and no influence from anyone else. It's really because of the thought imprints from everyone else on you. So you are a mirror for everyone else, and everyone's a mirror for you, and we're ping-ponging thoughts between each other. And so if we put out a thought and we get a thought and we react to it because we didn't know it was our thought, then we're just playing a game that was programmed to us to react. If we start to really know that our thoughts are effective on of judgment of others. So if I judge you to be an introvert or quiet or something like that, I'm going to absolutely create that in you because you have that ability, because all of us have the ability to be that quiet introvert for a period of time. So I'm just, my thought of like, oh, she looks like she's an introvert, she's going to be quiet. Well, guess what? She's going to be quiet because she's going to give me that back. And this is part of understanding this matrix, is that the mirror effect of each other is what's creating this, because we're reacting to our thoughts rather than we are taking full responsibility for the thoughts. So moving away for those 40 days takes us out of the environment to be imprinted with other people's thoughts and reactions. And then we become a pure thought by ourselves in that environment, along with if you're eating healthy and you're connected and you're appreciative and all the other attributes that connect you back to the earth reality, which is where we're bound on another ley line in this, you know, original plan of planet Earth. We are reconnected away from other people's thoughts, and that is where it is said to find yourself in those 40 days. But I'm going to add this to it. It's 6 weeks. It's 42 days from a new moon to the second full moon is what we call a fermentation process. If you want to ferment something like sauerkraut or something, if you put it in on a new moon and you harvest it on the second full moon, that would be the perfect fermentation. And I believe that this is a formula that we have not properly understood yet, as a predetermined package of, you know, when to plant, when to fish, when to reap, when to sow, of the moon cycles. And if we did that on those moon cycles for the 42 days, I think that anyone who wants to really go into knowing yourself, because this reality that I am walking into, people don't walk around in this reality reacting to assumptions all the time. They know they are the I am. And so to be that I am, you have to know yourself. And to know yourself, you would have to move away from everything else for those 42 days. And I wish this for anyone else seeking their self, because anything else that you seek in this world, you're chasing your tail. There's nothing else to seek but yourself. After you seek yourself, everything in the world is yours. It's the zero point.
Yeah, I had somebody who was trying to tell me how I should be, you know, and based on this or that or the other thing. And, you know, I honestly said, look, I don't listen to anybody except myself, my higher self. You know, I can listen to you, but I'm only, you know, it's not taking because it's not coming from me. You know, now that sounds egotistical. And you started the show discussing the concept of ego. It's like, mm-hmm. That's one of the things that they've tried to take away from us. Is our feeling of we are important. Of course you're important. You're part of the source God.
Yeah.
You know, God created, what is it, almost 8 billion people on the planet of the earth, and they thought he, she, all it is, needed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mm-hmm. Yes, don't put down your ego. Feel your strength. Grow into your strength. But the people that fall down and get caught up in the ego are the ones that don't understand absolute power demands absolute responsibility, and that includes absolute responsibility over every thought you have.
Right. No, ego. If egos are aligned, I love them. If egos are not aligned, I don't like them. It's simple. Just put me in a room with untruths, egos, opinions, and I am without the importance of who they really are, but the presentation of their corporate self. I'm not in love with them. There's nothing. You'll fascinate me for 5 minutes, but I can't because it's not aligned. An ego that's aligned merges with their future self. You're merging your past and your future. And I wanted to speak on that because the Anunnakis, we're more than half Anunnaki. We're 90 to my calculation after reading the books and everything else, but this is my own thing. We have more Anunnaki than anything else, more than monkeys, more than anything else. And in that, we, in this earth, you know these channelings that come from Sananda and Michael and all of these Arcturians? I've heard it over and over and over. Earth's very important. The whole universe is watching us. Why do you think they're watching us? This is where we merge our fallen selves back with our ascended selves. The Anunnakis of where we're coming from, they're the fallen race, attached to the reptiles, attached to all of the other ones that are the draconians and whatever else. And we, because we are dual, half angel, half devil, half Anunnaki, half creator, whatever way you want to conceive in your own mind, it doesn't matter. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm just saying who I am. This concept, when we bridge the truth of the ego self with the truth of the spirit, they shake hands. The Father and the Son are one. That's what Jesus was talking about. Me and my Father are one. That's what he was saying. When you bridge that concept, and we do it in a way where we're creating a reality that everyone else can get there and do it, what we have done is create the bridge for the fallen race to come back home to creation. And that's when the universe reaches its zero point. It says left and right, we understand each other, we appreciate the balance, and now everything is on track. Thank you.
Oh, wow, we've had a good time here. You know, I do want to ask you a question. Why do you reference yourself as the Atlantean?
To get people's attention, I have an affiliation with it because it was a hidden concept. Science never admitted it. So to be out there, knowing that I was part of a civilization that existed before written history, bringing back into people's forefront of concept of Atlantis in the imagination, recreating it. I call the new world the new Atlantis. It is our new Atlantis. That's it.
I'm assuming that you've heard Edgar Casey's take on Atlantis and that basically everybody here had an experience on Atlantis.
That's right. I really believe that. We've been here. I was told I've been here 3,000 times. And if you look at that, it probably doesn't fit in 13,000 years. So I probably go way back. I don't know. You know, one of the things that used to make me wonder is how everybody could go back to another life and how everybody did past life regressions and they knew who they were and there were queens and kings and all these kind of things. It started to play on me. It's like, well, it looked like everybody was a queen and a king. That means who was doing the work, you know? And I never wanted to be one of those. Although I know and other people have told me that I've played very important parts in this reality in our history, I don't want to think of it and I don't want to present myself of it because it causes a level of hierarchy and that is not what we're about. That is absolutely not where we're about. All we're trying to do is get everybody's thoughts back on track to know that your thoughts create. And it is only workable when you're in the right energy patterns of unselfishness and creation. And when we are all on this path together, there is no more hurt and no more pain because you will just know that your mind can't go back there. Why would you want to go back into the sludge for nothing? You know, so it just, and all that doesn't think in those alignments, they fall away. And this is what's happening. The chaos and the crumble and the untruths are falling away. We're going to see, or we are seeing them falling away. So as the energies shift and the knowings are accelerated, enjoy the show. Om Shiva.
Well, you know, I said this to somebody, that World War III was actually fought and won by the White Hats, and very few people even know it.
That's right.
we're in a wrap-up situation as far as the 3D goes. When it all comes out, I mean, I've lost friends over this concept. And I struggled with it. Why are you fighting me on this? Your reality goes to nuclear annihilation and doom and gloom and awfulness. Whereas my interpretation of what happens is says there's going to be some really interesting and fascinating and things you've never even imagined happening, and it's going to take us to a new level of consciousness, of existence, of love and joy, and it's just going to be marvelous. So why do you keep fighting me on this? And it comes down to the fact that, one, they can't imagine it, and two, they're terrified.
Whether they're terrified of them. But let me answer to that. That I want to talk on this one, and I'm glad we have a few minutes left. A few years ago, I came up with this thought. There's only a few of us on this planet that are real. I don't know how much, but the number is not everyone in this reality. But I didn't want to share this thought because it seemed to me like I would be in a level of separation. And where I was going, I was training my mind not to think in judgmental ways and whatever. So I kept that. And recently, in the last 2 weeks, I have seen a few people come up with a very good indication to say that most of the people, or some of the people out there, are not real, meaning that they are on another computer, what I call the false matrix or the beast computer, and they are generating the thoughts that are contrary to growth. So they are reacting to us in a negative way to make you feel wrong. And that has kept this reality in place. And when you think about it, if you had a master of the game and he was behind the scenes and he was a puppet master, a manipulator, wouldn't you throw in your own pawns of deception into the game to create a false illusion of you being incorrect and wrong? It wasn't all our brothers and sisters who were just asleep. Maybe there are some actors in here who are really programmed to go, hey, you're an idiot, you're a tin hat, and then they make you want to shut up and go away, and you go like, I'm not even talking to people anymore because this is what I get. And this has worked really well on us. If they could actually spoke your wheel every time, it has kept us back for years, because every time we thought that, you know, everyone is ready for the truth and I'm going to speak the truth, there was somebody out there with a bat ready to guacamole you back into your into your submission again. And it, you know, is it really human energy of spiritual thought that's generated, or is it a computer set up to take you down, control thought that's actually being activated in that false matrix that was created by an Anunnaki called Marduk?
I don't think it matters what the source of it was. We have to look at it is, okay, you've got the reality. Think of the reality as being two ships, just for now, okay? You got the Matrix ship, and it's full of all these people over there, okay? And then a few of us jump ship, and we start our own ship. And so we're building this new ship, this new concept, right? But everybody else is off there sailing down, you know, in their ship. Now, initially, the ships were sort of anchored together by, let's say, ropes, although it's energy that's pulling us into that. They want us over there. We just want to build our own new one. We don't even care about bringing them. We just want to build our own new one, right? So the chips are together, and they're rocking back and forth because changes in one cause changes in another. But now those ropes are severed. And our new reality ship is just sailing down and having a really good time because we can imagine it. Because we can put the energy and the focus that they cannot, because they can't even touch their inner human self to get up that much energy. They are programmed to react at a very low energy level. So without the power of imagination, of the emotional, because they're also broken down in that they can't feel joy. One of the first things that people said to me when I started working with Shungite is that this is the first time I remember ever feeling joy, because the Shungite itself was resonating a signature of joy, and they actually could feel it. So you've got this ship that it's not even connected correctly to the emotions. So as they go through their paradigm of reality, we're creating a new reality. However, in our minds, in our reality, mom's still there, dad's still there, husband's still there, in our reality, okay? Now, we can let them drag us back to their reality and react to who they are on that other ship, or we can stay firmly in our ship. And gradually the people, the versions of that person becomes what we want them to be.
Right. So you constructed in your concept of reality, peace for all and a bridge for them to come into the truth of your truth, our truth, knowing that they didn't know any better and whatever else. But what I'm really thinking,
let me just finish this, okay? Because that's what I call a marker. Dolores Cannon would say it's a background person, okay? But what we've done is we've created a space in our reality for that higher self and the other boat to say, this boat's about to sink. I'm going over there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you have to be willing to allow them to travel on that second boat, but to create a reality where they have a space in our reality.
Yes, yeah. I see that, and yes, I've adopted it in my own space too. I can actually see how all the cause of effects of events that are coming forth are going to change everyone's attitude. You know, years ago when I was telling people, the controllers that be, they're actually poisoning you. They laugh because it's like, yeah, of course, yeah, Troy, we smoke cigarettes or poison. So, you know, like we like poison, and they laugh at me. And now in the last couple of months, thanks to Q, thanks to all the, you know, the attention on Trump, all the attention on whatever, this is now being shown to this reality that there is a low level of poisoning that was happening from everything that was controlled from the corporate agenda to suppress who we are or potential to be. And I can see this, like when people realize that the ones they trusted the most were actually lying to them on TV, acting in a false way, feeding me known poisons with an agenda to actually make me live less and pay more. And I can continue this on and on and on. When they realize this, they will start paying attention to our boat and realizing that our boat is flying and there is a sinking. And they will, that's when they will say, well, what does it take to come on your boat? And so the same argument, but the, you know, I just see the events that we are co-creating, because we all are co-creating these events because we all want truth to be revealed so badly that many of people have said to me, if this doesn't happen, I don't want to stay here anymore. That's the way they feel. That's where we're coming from. It's like, it's hurt all the light workers so much so, the ones that have seen, you know, or cared about the ones they're suffering. There's some light workers that are just keeping the light and creating bubbles that others can come into and heal and go back out there. And others are creating understanding of this. So, you know, so we're all doing our little bubbles here and there for people to learn a part of this and free themselves from the old thoughts where they can now regenerate and advance to, you know, be a helpful being rather than a being that's actually anchoring the negatives with lies and deceit and deception.
Yeah, I think that well, there are, every once in a while, I've just had this sort of situation where I thought I really knew this person and then absolutely didn't, apparently had it all wrong. When you run into those kind of situations, don't beat yourself up about it, because it's like the mirroring thing, you know? Sometimes it's not a mirror effect. It's actually a, oh, how to use it? It's... The universe has to use what it has to build. And sometimes a person will fit a particular need, all right? But then they're not needed. They don't have the capabilities of going any further. So all of a sudden they look like this negative entity. Were you wrong? No. It's just that when we're dealing with all of these different realities, every person has a different reality. So sometimes the realities merge and you're on the same path and then suddenly they don't. It's not a judgment here. Just let it go. Just stay focused on your reality. Don't let these wandering, you know, like waves that come in and splash you, you know, take your focus away from your own reality. Don't feel like you have responsibility or guilt or, you know, any of this stuff. Just let it go. That was interesting. And it's hard to say that and have a good reaction on the inside, because we are who we are. You can't be who we are if you don't have an open, trusting heart. You're going to see people for who they can be, not necessarily for who they are at that moment in time as their reality intersects yours.
Perceptions rule reality.
Exactly.
Thank you. So if we perceive negative, we achieve negative. If we perceive positive, we achieve positive. And it's just about our perceptions. But there is a but, because there are interactions that we may have to go through where there are lessons to be learned, and the lessons have to be given to the ones who needs the lessons, and therefore it will look like something that you didn't want to perceive or whatever. So if the person's a thief and you're thinking, well, he's not going to steal from me, but it's like, no, I'm a thief, I got to show you that you can't trust me. And that person takes it. Well, did you perceive that the possibility existed, or are you still in the state of knowing that you're observing that reality to see if it, you know? So there's all these thoughts that are not absolute. You're still in your observation field of seeing what's possible. And I've had to go through this, and I've tried positive perception, and it would work. It has a cause. It has an effect on the cause, because if I stop perceiving that person as negative, there's nothing negative between me and that person. That person is as enlightened as I am in that moment, eye to eye. Yet, if I step away and another person will interact with that person, I see a different person, because they actually like a chameleon with other people. And then therefore, I may not have a problem with that person, but then I couldn't travel with that person, because every other person that person was interacting with had a problem with them. And therefore, there would be a causing me an effect being with that person. So we have to, that's the part of discernment that we have to go through. We just don't have the total, everybody else's free will and opinions and attitudes and things are affecting our field. And, you know, we have to be careful about our perceptions are the only thing that we do have to control anything, is our perceptions. So thanks for allowing me to say that.
And my perception is we are at the end of this radio show. Thank you. This has been such an amazing trip. I hope you've had a good time.
I did have a wonderful time. And with everybody that I talk to, I would have a different conversation with every single person, because I pick up on where you are. I don't know I'm doing it. That's automatic. It's like a sensory with everyone else. So when we're with different people, we are different, slightly different based on their thoughts. We are us, but we're slightly different based on their thoughts. So thank you for giving me your space to express my truth in your truth space. And so it is. Thank you.
Couldn't say it better. All righty. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Be safe. Be blessed, and believe in yourselves, and imagine. Let your imagination go, and touch a dragon. Take a dragon trip. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggishack Radio.